Heroes Not Included is a serialized story podcast featuring actual play of Dungeons & Dragons 5th Edition from Wizards of the Coast. Wizards of the Coast own their respective trademarks, copyrights, and related materials. A special thanks to all the great people at Wizards of the Coast for all their hard work creating wonderful games for us to play.
Previously on Heroes Not Included.
This dragon fairy takes Brick into the Pink Flump Theater and sort of asks Brick what he's up to, and they strike a deal. So this little dragon fairy will get some of the riches if they can come along with Brick. Once Gunesh gets into this inferno, Brick has already disappeared into the theater. So my notes say, we're trying to figure stuff out. It's total chaos.
Yep.
That's a pretty good synopsis.
Yeah, so Brick's has left the cask of ale outside. Brick's new friend finds another cask. They locate the trap door down under the theater. Brick heads to the bottom of the vault. There's a door, and Brick sets down the three keys, and the door opens, and the vault looks empty.
Heroes Not Included.
So yeah, you see these stairs at the south end of the room leading up.
I slowly make my way up.
Okay.
Treading carefully on the stairs.
Nice. All right, Ganesh, Eddie, Pandy. You see this rather disheveled elderly woman in what looks like a attire that at one point was probably really quite exquisite, but has seen a few moths, has seen a little wear and tear, a little frayed around the edges. And she steps into view in the ticket booth, and she says, "What is it you want? We aren't open."
So I kind of stroll up, seeing that she has found the manager, and I kind of put my hand on Eddie's shoulder, and I kind of flash my badge a little bit, and I say, "Ma'am, we're here because we believe a fugitive may be taking refuge in your building due to the explosion that happened in your back alleyway. I was hoping that me and my compatriots here could gain access in hopes of finding said fugitive and removing him from your midst."
"There's no fugitive in this theater."
"Ma'am, I'm sorry, I need to verify that for myself. As you can see here," and I grab my badge, "I am a member of the City Watch, and it is my intention to make sure that all of my citizens here are safe."
"Well, you can do that at 7 when we open."
"Ma'am, I'm afraid this is a bit of a time-sensitive matter, as I do believe our fugitive may have gained entry to your building illegally and may be causing unknown havoc in some forgotten storeroom, I'm sure."
"I'm going to,
She says, "There's no havoc being caused. There are actors getting ready. Things are as they should be. If you really want in here, you can go get your captain. But otherwise, you come back at 7, you pay a ticket like everybody else."
I'm going to, in a very thespian kind of way that might speak to her sensibilities, say, "There won't be a theater at 7. This place is going down, I know it. There's a madman in your building, I'm sure. When I'm wrong, take me to jail." Can I roll a persuasion?
Yes.
It was an 11.
She says, "Have you thought about acting? I'll pay you 3 coppers a night."
"I'll do it for free for a week if you let me search your building for 5 minutes.
Free, you say?
"Free.
You have to provide your own costumes."
"Absolutely."
"No insurance."
"Okay."
"And no liability. If you blow up, it's not our fault."
"Okay, you have a deal."
She strokes her chin and kind of plays with a couple little long white hairs. "All right, just the little one. The rest of you have to stay out here."
So I clap Eddie on the shoulder. And I say, "Eddie, we've hung out enough times. We've done enough of this. You're an amazing detective. You've earned that hat. You can do this. I believe in you. You're inspirational. And I bless Eddie. Okay.
What does that give me? I should know that.
You get a die four.
That's what I thought. Mm-hmm.
To attack roll or saving throw in case you got one of those coming up, just in case.
Sure hope not.
It's really more to make you feel good and your dice to realize that they should be friendly.
So, you see this small staircase get pushed into view by the door, and you see the small fellow who was in the ticket booth beforehand walk up the staircase so that he is level with the locks. The whole way up, he's dragging this huge keychain behind him on the staircase. And even through the door, you can hear the clink, 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 clink. And he lifts up one key and sticks it into the door, fiddles with it, turns it. And you hear the door go click. And the old lady kind of comes around and opens the door up and says, "All right, in you get. 5 minutes. And then I will see you tomorrow night."
Sounds good. Good for publicity. I like this theater. So I run in using my best abilities to understand where the back door is.
Okay.
How good am I at finding it?
Give me a perception check.
Okay. 21.
Wow, yeah. You enter into the actual main auditorium and you see a bunch of seats down to a stage. And you see people hanging things up on the stage, people up on ladders. You see people kind of dangling from ropes trying to get things square. You see another person kind of sweeping out the aisles. And you go right past them, right up onto the stage, where you see all these different facades set up and people are moving them into place. And you take a right down the stairs and you find the door. And you see that on this side of the door, there is a massive chain linking across the doorway.
Okay, weird. That's weird. So I'm going to look around, and what do I see?
Well, you are in a room where you see a heap of red velvet. Looks like it's old, tattered. You see a few extra facades kind of hanging off to one corner. You see a bunch of different boxes and stuff. And you see in the west wall a hallway that seems to lead back behind the stage.
I guess I'll go that way.
Okay.
Because I don't imagine he wasn't in the auditorium. He wouldn't go to the auditorium.
Well, and the door was chained.
I have faith in his abilities to sneak in here. Okay. And I, like, I'm...
Even wasted.
You're invested to the bit at this point.
Exactly. I'm like, you're, okay, well, I'm here. I'm going to look for him as if he's here. So I'm going to run down that hallway.
It is filled with people moving in and out of dressing rooms and in various states of costume dress. Some guy has a big beard. Another person has wig on. You see someone else is trying to apply some makeup. You see this really, really tiny guy. I'm climbing into this huge, gigantic, oversized dress.
Cool. I'm excited to work here.
Yeah.
So there's a bunch of dressing rooms.
Yes, 8 of them.
I know the answer to this, but I'm asking like I've never been here. Are there any not dressing rooms? Because I don't imagine that Brick would have gone into one of the dressing rooms because there'd be people in there, right?
Yeah, there is a couple doors that don't seem to be open.
I'm gonna check in both of those doors.
You go to open one of the doors and it's locked. The other door opens to reveal piles and piles of rope and buckets of paint and et cetera, some spare lumber.
Can I investigate the room?
The one with the paint and the spare lumber and all that?
Sure.
Yeah, okay. Good, give me an investigation check.
It's an 18.
An 18. All that's in there is what you see. The old woman you see is now walking down the hallway. She sees you looking in. Well, are you satisfied?
I know he's here. And I'm going to, while displaying my acting chops, I'm a bard. I'm a musician. I'm capable of my voice carrying extremely loudly.
Okay.
So I am going to shout to everyone bustling around, "Has anybody seen?" And I'm going to give my description of Brick.
Okay.
40-something, blue-eyed, brown hair, broad-shouldered, scorched man.
Scorched man.
potentially also all wet, probably scorched. I'm not sure.
Smells of booze.
Very, yeah, dwarven ale, scented.
You see a bunch of heads kind of pop out of the dressing rooms. You see everyone in the hallway kind of turn and look at you. And you realize that there's got to be like 30 people here. And they all kind of look at you in this sort of quizzical, what in the world is going on? Who are you sort of thing. And they all kind of look at each other like, what in the world is this?
And I'm going to add, I'm your new coworker, Eddie Evergreen. I've got a fugitive on the loose. He's gonna blow this place any minute. If anyone has any trapdoors, secret hiding places, or is stowing a fugitive named Arthur Brick, he's a very dangerous man who could murder any of you at any moment. You had better show me him or else.
Oh my God. So they all go back to doing what they're doing. One of the actors walks up behind you and taps you on the shoulder and says, honey, save the drama for on the clock.
I'm not joking.
How long have you been practicing that bit, huh?
Pretty clearly not that long.
You can roll if you want, or roll something, but yeah. You have to declare your role.
I'm going to try and persuade these people to, I feel like someone is hiding Brick. I'm persuading someone to help me. I only have 5 minutes. There's people everywhere. Give me some help. I'm persuading them to help me, and I'm going to use my inspiration. That's a 24.
24. Well, the person who said, save the drama for when you're on the clock, says, easy now. What is it you need?
I have a friend. He's a complicated friend.
Honey, this is the theater. We're all complicated.
He is on a bender. And I'm scared that he is going to hurt himself or somebody else or do something really stupid. So I need to find my friend Arthur Brick before anything very bad happens to
him. What makes you think he's here? We don't sell any liquor here. He's not a bender. Wouldn't he be at a tavern or a bar?
He has already drank an entire cask of dwarven ale. And he is in this building, but I don't know where.
Well, where have you looked?
I haven't. I only have 5 minutes because your boss is sort of a stickler.
Did you look in the auditorium?
Yes, he's not there.
Did you look down here in the dressing rooms?
No.
Well, let's take a look. And she kind of walks you along and she comes to the first dressing room and she says, George, you got any crazy drunkards in there?
Or anywhere that one might hide.
And George kind of opens up the door and he goes, oh, only one. Or two. I don't know. There's no one in here. Oh, hi, little person. I'll do autographs after the show. He shuts the door.
I'm also, while I'm frenzied, I can't help but get really excited that I'm going to be an actor. So I'm going to be keeping a mental note of, okay, George, drunk George the drunkard. Got it. George of the Drunk. Okay. So I'm going to be remembering all these people.
You go down a few more. No one. You go down to another one, and she knocks on the door, and she says, Fallon? You wouldn't happen to have, you know, a drunk person in there acting dangerously?
Or anywhere someone might hide. I'm adding that at every...
The door opens, and you see this elf. He's standing very erect. And he says,
there's no one in my room. Pity, but there's no one.
And he turns and he looks. And you see the room is just immaculate. Everything's like gold tinted. And you see he's using some kind of magic to make lights by the mirrors. And you see a whole lot of frilly, fluffy, flowy things. And he says,
you're welcome to look, but I assure you, I would know if someone was in my pantaloons.
What's a pantaloon? I'm going to bop in and look around.
Wow.
You bop in and you are immediately hit with this massive cloud of perfume and talcum dust.
I love this room. I'm quite fond of it. Can I do some sort of investigation to see if I can find any hiding places? Investigation. That's a 16.
Nope. Everything is as typical as you assume it would be for this person.
Cool. I head out. Thank you so much. I really look forward to working with you.
If you're enjoying this Heroes Not Included episode, you can follow us on Twitter at @HNI_podcast for the latest news and show updates. Also, please consider becoming a patron. Our patrons not only help us keep the lights on, they also gain special behind-the-screen access, including patron-only podcasts, videos, and more. To become a patron, visit our Patreon page at patreon.com/heroesnotincluded.
Charmed. And he gives this huge, sort of swirling, flowing bow.
I try and, like, rub the air on my body so I can smell that way.
The next dressing room, there's no one in that dressing room. They are out in the hallway arguing, so you're able to kind of look into the dressing room and you see that there are four tables with little mirrors on them. And it seems that the two people in the hallway that are arguing, they're arguing over someone who is using the rouge that shouldn't be.
I bite my lips and kind of press on my cheeks again. Kind of like...
And then the last room, this knock on the door and you hear from behind the door, "Yes?"
"Hello?"
"Hello?"
"Is there anyone in there, named Brick, or has anyone been in your room, or is there any place that someone named Brick could hide?"
"Only someone named Brick."
"Or anyone? Sorry, I'm caught off guard."
You hear back from the other side of the door,
"No, there is no one in this room but me, left alone with my thoughts on this mortal plane where I toil away a life that once was filled with beauty."
I have to see this person. So I push on the door to try and get in there.
You push on the door and it kind of swings open and you see this man that is probably four times as wide as you and probably three times as tall.
Cool.
He's just huge. And he has this huge ruff so that he can't really bend his neck without moving his entire mass, which kind of rolls forward when you come to the room. And he says,
"Fly, little one, for life is fleeting. And before you see the sun setting on your life, do something that matters."
I am completely overwhelmed and excited by this person. So I am going to run and jump as high as I can to hug him. Before I leave.
It's a little bit like jumping and trying to hug a mattress.
Cool.
You spring into the air and you just kind of go, bleh, sticking yourself kind of on the surface. And yeah, you kind of begin to slide down the velvet. And he picks up this huge hand, this huge wide hand. And he kind of pats you on the head and he says,
"Now go, child, for there is no milk in this bosom."
Can he lead our party?
I know. I'm going to, with tears in my eyes, say, "I beg to differ." And I'm going to leave.
Okay.
I am so excited to work here. Also, that sounds like my actual fantasy.
All right, pause. Brick, you make it up the stairs.
Fudge.
You make it up the stairs and you enter into a 20-foot-high hall that runs north and south. There are three pillars running the length of the hall, and they are carved to resemble war hammers, with their square heads pressed against the floor. You are on the north end, north and south. The west wall bears a cracked mosaic that depicts a dwarf smith at a forge, crafting dwarves out of black metal and diamonds. There are three archways in the east wall, and you can tell that they lead out to those crumbling bridges you saw down below when you were in the foyer.
Wishes, where are you?
Right here.
Which way do you think we should go? I'm lost.
I don't know, those bridges did not look very safe.
Suppose not.
I expect one trip across and they'll crumble.
Friend, where are you? I need your help. Now!
Calling out to my friend.
Okay.
No one answers.
No one answers.
Oh, I've been abandoned.
You want to look through each archway and kind of look at the bridges?
Yeah, I'll do that.
The one closest to you, the northernmost bridge, is the most intact. And you notice that the bridge ends at another adamantine door.
Mm-hmm.
So the door is stuck flush with the wall, and the bridge ends right at the door. It's the one that's the most intact. The middle one has a hole in the middle of it that you'll have to jump. And the last one is also intact, but you can see places where there's maybe just a tiny bit of brick left to walk on. Give me a perception check.
That is a 21.
21. You hear something moving from the mosaic.
I look to the mosaic.
You see some kind of black ooze begin to seep out of a crack.
Wishes we gotta go.
And then I run on the most intact one.
The northernmost we'll call one, the middle one we'll call two, and the last one we'll call three. Okay?
Okay. So I'll try number one.
Number one. You go running across the bridge, and as you do, pieces of it start falling away. And you hear it crash below you 60 feet.
Mm-hmm. Smash! Squish!
And you get to the door. Do you open it?
Yeah, if I can, I'll try and push it or run through it.
You push on the door. You see a room, a 10-foot-tall painted statue of an armored male dwarf wielding a battle axe and wearing a mask that stands at the back of this room. The room is 20 feet high and 15 feet by 15 feet square. Before the statue, set into the floor, is an adamantine trap door with a pull ring along one side.
I don't think this is the way.
And I turn right around and run the other way to try the run across the bridge number two.
Okay, so I needed an acrobatics check to see if you can make it across.
14.
14. You barely make it across. The bridge is now completely collapsed. There's no going back. And you see that the black ooze has now puddled into a mound. The only way to get to either of the two bridges is to go by it.
I take a deep breath, and I start blasting with my hands.
All right, let's roll initiative.
14.
Okay.
That is a 23.
That's a hit.
9 points of damage. Oh, 14 points of damage.
Ooh, even better. It kind of rolls over itself towards you. It's this black ooze, and it's kind of burbling, gurgling, bubbling. And you see it swings out a pseudopod. Try and hit you. You're at 2 hit points, right?
Yes.
Okay. Just making sure.
That's what happens when I play a dumb character.
It misses.
Ooh.
So, Brick, do you want to try and run by and make it to the next bridge? Do you want to retreat? Or do you want to stand and continue to fight?
I'm going to try and run past it.
Okay. Try your luck at an opportunity attack, huh?
Yep.
And you're going just for the next bridge, bridge number two, the one with the gap that you have to jump.
Yep.
Okay. All right. Here we go. You run past and out onto the bridge. Let's see if it gets a hit off. It misses.
Lucky. Thank goodness.
So freaking lucky. Unbelievable.
Gapes. Wow. Ooze somehow.
Unbelievable. Give me the acrobatics check. Let's see if you fall 60 feet.
That is a 18.
You make the leap and you land. The bridge that you jumped, the part of the bridge that you jumped from, crumbles.
Okay.
You come up to the door. Push open the door, and inside you see 4 suits of rusted plate armor, sans helmets, sized for a dwarf, and they stand in the corners of this 20-foot high, square, 15 by 15 room. Each suit is draped in cobwebs. Dwarvish runes are carved into the far wall.
I do have dwarf.
Okay, it reads, "A secret never before told will part Dumathoian's lips."
That sounds very confusing to me. Mm-hmm. That's Brick.
a secret never before told will part Dumathoin's lips.
So I start looking at the pieces of armor, kind of looking around and seeing if there's anything, like if they're valuable.
Okay.
Wishes, does this seem familiar to you at all?
Well, Dumathoin is the dwarven god of secrets. Mm. I think it's a riddle.
Are you good with riddles?
No, not particularly. I can just usually recognize one, though.
Mm. Aww.
A secret never before told will part Dumathoin's lips. Mm. Well, some sort of secret then opens up something?
That sounds right.
We could try another room.
Yeah, so I pull out the stone.
Mm-hmm. You see all three eyes are closed.
Wake up, friend. I need your help.
Go away.
Go away, what kind of a friend are you? I need your help.
I never said I was your friend. Go away.
What are you talking about? You said friend.
Go away.
Ah.
Your mind is too empty to entertain me any longer.
You're no friend.
And I toss it on the ground.
Okay, as you toss it on the ground, the last thing you hear in your head is,
and you're stupid.
It's fair.
Brick, I think you should hurry. Look out the door.
I look.
You see the black ooze is stretching itself.
Across?
As though it's trying to get across the cavity now.
That's creepy and disgusting.
I'm scrambling to think of what could solve this, so I just start moving the armor.
Okay.
From where it is.
What kind of roll would you like to make?
Probably an investigation.
I will allow investigation. I will allow religion. I will allow insight.
Seven.
Nope. You keep kind of moving the armor around. Wishes finally turns to you and says,
a secret never before told. Do you have a secret you've never told anyone?
I've got a couple, I guess. Except for that stone, I told that one a lot.
But it has to be a secret you never told. Maybe that's it. Did I just solve my first riddle?
Maybe you did.
I guess I'm kind of looking around, trying to see what I would speak a riddle to.
I love dwarven women. There, I said it.
That took a turn. I didn't see that coming.
I wasn't expecting that either.
It's a secret never told, I guess.
So you've never told anybody. That's a secret that Brick has never told a soul.
I think so.
Okay. You see a trap door flip open, revealing a spiral staircase that descends down.
That's our cue, Wishes. Come on!
Thank you for listening to Heroes Not Included. If you enjoyed this episode, please take a moment to rate and review us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find all our episodes on Podbean and on our website at heroesnotincluded.com. Don't miss an episode. Subscribe today using your favorite podcast app. Also, you can follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/heroesnotincluded. And finally, our podcast is supported by Josh Heddle, Allison McManus, Shane Fetters, Jake McNinch, Amy Trout, and Matt Mitten, along with all our awesome patrons. To become a patron and gain access to our special patron-only podcast, visit our Patreon page at patreon.com/heroesnotincluded. Until next time, be the hero.